I think most people look for peace over most things. Think about that for a little bit. I think most of us desire a settlement of peace. Most of the time, like we like love. We love love. We like hope. We like joy. Joy is fun and happy and all that. But I think most of us would just like that settlement of peace. We want peace. Why? Because where we live, it's very personal. Peace is very personal. Like, we look at the world, if you watch the news, there's a lot of turmoil and war, and there's a lot of places in the world where there's no peace. A lot of places that don't even hit the news, that we don't even hear, because frankly, the news just goes to what they think we all want to hear about. So we hear about certain wars, but there's a lot of other wars and turmoil going on in almost every country around the world. And they can only fit in so much in the half hour of news or whatever. But it's all over the world. And people are talking about peace. Especially around Christmas, we talk about peace. I wish for peace. But let's talk about that personally, though. In my life, I've had two instances that I'll call it anxiety moments. Sometimes we use the word anxiety attacks. Maybe for most of us, that's kind of overplaying it a little bit. But I had a couple of anxiety moments in my life. And one of them was a particular fall season. And I was sitting in my office, and all of a sudden, my whole chest was feeling just really anxious. And I was starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed. And I've never had a heart attack, so I wasn't sure. Am I having a heart attack, or what's going on? So I walked over to one of the other pastors on staff, and I said to Pastor Tom, I said, can you pray for me? Like, I'm just not feeling right. Something's going on right here. So he prayed for me, and it was really good. It settled me a little bit. Went back to my office. And I'm going, this is just sitting here. This anxiety, this whatever this non-peace was. Or you know what, I just can't stay here. So I said to my ministry assistant, can you just cancel my appointments this day? This isn't going to go. I think I had one session with one person, and it's just sitting there. I'm going, I'm not helpful to anyone. So I asked her to cancel the rest of the day. I said, I need to go home. I said, okay, I'm going to go home, and then I'm going to go for a walk. There's a really nice walking path close to where we lived. And I'm going to go for a walk, and I start to go for a walk, and I'm going, this isn't a good idea, because if all of a sudden I have a heart attack, nobody's around to find me. I'll be out here all alone. This isn't going to work. So I phoned my son, and I said, I think I'm having a heart attack. Like, I don't know what's going on. What should I do? He goes, you should go to the hospital. Yeah, get yourself to the hospital. I said, can you come pick me up? Like, I don't think I should drive. Like, it was one of those weird, just kind of, like, it was just... So he took me to the hospital, and then we called Judy at work, and you're not having an anxiety attack, because I'm having anxiety, but you're obviously worried. So you come. Now, this isn't a slight on the healthcare system, but it took many hours for the doctor to finally see me. By then, everything had calmed down. I eventually got to talk to him, and he goes, well, it sounds like your blood pressure or everything is good, and I was calmed down. And I went home and just stayed home. And I realized as I thought about over the next couple of days, that was a particular stressful season of the type of ministry that I've done, and I won't go into it, but I wasn't taking care of myself. And what happened is my body finally said, Tim, it's time for you to take a break, a day or two. Like, what you've done for the last few months is overwhelming for one man. Like, just take a break. But I've never forgotten that anxiety. And I think many of us can identify with some form of anxiety or worry that you know I'm not feeling peace. I won't ask for hands, but I know that most of us, if not all of us, have felt that. Different things come along and just cause something. It may be like a heart attack, it may be just overwhelming, and it may be an anxiety moment where you just feel like, and you're trying to catch your breath. But what we want deep down is peace. All I wanted at that time was peace and calm. When we are overwhelmed and too much is going on, or when we're faced with a difficulty, and that was my other anxiety moment, when all of a sudden I was faced with a very big difficulty, and I just could feel myself just getting anxious inside and short of breath and all of that. We look for peace and we look for calm in whatever storm we're feeling. In Luke chapter 2, it says, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven praising God, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now try to imagine that. You're a shepherd. It's dark outside. It's calm. It's peaceful. And all of a sudden, one angel shows up. Hey, I got some great news of great joy. And you're feeling a little bit panicked. You're feeling a little bit anxious. And then not only that, but then a whole host. It says a whole vast of others. Interesting, the armies of heaven. I'm imagining those angels are actually dressed for warfare. Some angels, I'm assuming, don't have just wings. They're actually ready for battle. And here's a whole host of armies of angels. They're not having peace right now in that shepherd field. They are overwhelmed. And what do they announce? Glory to God in the heaven, glory to God, and peace on earth. Peace on earth. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called the Prince of Peace. There's a bunch of names in there, but I'm just focusing on the Prince of Peace. I was thinking about this verse because we often read, the government will rest on his shoulders. What does that mean? Now, I would never want to be a prime minister of a nation. No matter your political stripe, I would not want to be a prime minister or president or some leader of every country, especially in 2023, moving into 2024. I just wouldn't want it. The stress and the things that they're all trying to work through, I don't know what kind of peace those leaders can have. But I look at this verse and it says the government will rest on his shoulders. What does rest mean to do? I've often over the years just thought, well, they're just going to sit there. They're just going to rest on his shoulders. I was thinking it through, I'm going, when Jesus is actually in charge, the governments will actually rest. Because Jesus is actually in charge. And he's given a royal term of Prince of Peace. When Jesus reigns, there will be peace on earth like we have never known or seen before. That gives me some hope and encouragement looking down the road. Prince of Peace. It's interesting, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Jesus is leaving, he says, peace of mind and heart. You ever felt that when your mind is just racing? You're trying to go to sleep at night, and your mind just, you can't settle your mind. I give you peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. Is the gift that the world can't give that kind of peace. Oh, we try to go to all kinds of things to get peace. All kinds of the things that we think would calm us down or distract us from whatever is in our mind or our hearts and anxiety and fear and all kinds of stuff. But Jesus says, I give you a peace that nobody else, and nothing else can give. John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Thanks, Jesus. Thanks for telling us. We want a world without any trials and sorrows. But he says, in this world, I'm not talking about heaven, I'm talking about this world, Jesus says, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. I have overcome. Therefore, you can have peace. After Jesus' resurrection, three times he comes to his disciples, and he says, peace be with you. What were the disciples going through? They had just seen Jesus crucified. The whole Jerusalem was in uproar because of the crucifixion. Lots of people were calling for Jesus' death. And lots of people around it and saw it. And the world was in a mess. The Roman world was going, what's going on? We've just made a big crucifixion. And we've now killed a major leader. And everybody's in uproar. And the disciples were hiding. And Jesus walks up three times. Peace be with you. Friday morning, a bus driver came into my shop there where I also drive bus. And I hadn't seen him in many years. He's from another community, but I hadn't seen him in many years, or a couple of years. And he came in, and I was talking with him a little bit. And I said, how are you doing? He's a Christian man. And how are you doing? He goes, Monday, I'm taking my wife and moving her to Niverville Heritage Center. I said, oh, I'm sorry about that. And I had met her once before, and I sensed that. I said, she has Alzheimer's, right? Yeah. And she's in Bethesda Place in Steinbach, and she tomorrow is moving. So I'm really sorry. And then I went off to do a little job that I had to do. And then I came back, and he was still there. So I called him over and I said, you know what, on Sunday I'm speaking about peace. And I referenced this exact part where Jesus said to him, he said to the disciples, peace be with you. So I put my hand on his shoulder and I just touched his heart. And I said, Ken, peace be with you. He goes, oh, you're practicing your sermon on me. I said, yeah, maybe, but no. I said, Ken, I just peace into your heart. Thank you. Let's get technical here for a moment. What is peace? In Mels's complete expository dictionary, it says words for would be peace, harmony, tranquility, safety, welfare, health, often used as an emphasis on the lack of strife or reconciliation in a relationship when one has peace with God. The Hebrew word salim is very similar to shalom, which is often used more as a written or a verbal greeting, shalom. In the New Testament, if you remember, was written in Greek at the time. And that particular word is eirene. Interesting, I know a young girl that's named eirene, and she knows the meaning of eirene is peace. Describes a situation that results from the ceasing of hostilities and war. We talked about that in the world. It can also refer to the state of law and order that makes the fruits of prosperity possible. Eirene can also be characterized as peaceful conduct towards others. Peace can also be a state of being that lacks nothing and has no fear of being troubled in its tranquility. When you're in a state of peace, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. This morning, I'm always up earlier, and so I was up early, and the house was kind of dark. I had my Christmas lights on my tree, and the house dark, had my tea. Yeah, I drink tea first thing in the morning, not coffee. And the furnace had just gone off, and the HVAC wasn't running.
And it gets overwhelming. So I want to read from Luke chapter 2 here, and this is found in verses 36 to 38. I'm cheating here a little bit. We're in the messages before Christmas, but this happens after Jesus is born. His parents take him to Jerusalem, to the temple, to have him dedicated to the Lord. And there at the temple, they meet with Anna, the prophet. So I'll read. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died and had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Got a little breakdown here for you. There are 60 minutes in an hour. That's an easy one. There are 1,440 minutes in each day. 1,440. There are 10,080 minutes in a week, which adds up to 524,160 minutes in a year. And there are 33,546,240 minutes in 64 years. 64 years is the approximate amount of time that it says Anna was in the temple, worshiping the Lord, with fasting and prayer. That's an unimaginably long amount of time, 64 years. 33,546,240 minutes. It's a lot of minutes. Half of that time, she would have been sleeping, eating, that sort of thing. But the rest of it, she was in the temple, serving the Lord. The Lord is worthy of our time. He was worthy of every single minute Anna spent worshiping the Lord. We are not called to stay in the church, praying and fasting for our entire lives, but Anna was. She did. And the Lord was worthy of her time. We spend time in the morning or evening, still before God, in devotions, worshiping and prayer. This is a crucial part of our walk as Christians. To orient our day in the morning, to take that time, to schedule that time, and be with the Lord. It sets the mood for the day. It allows the Lord to enter our lives and our minds as we go about the things of the day. It helps us find peace during the day, because we have the Lord with us, and we've told him about our day, and he gives us the strength and the power for the day ahead, what we need for the day, what we read in the Bible, and he's faithful to help us. We don't have to stop in the morning. When our devotions are done, the Lord isn't done. He stays with us all day. He's on our minds. He's in our hearts. We can pray with him wherever we are, whether that's with our coworkers or in the evening with friends and family. It doesn't matter. The Lord is there, and we can reach out to him in our minds. Time spent with the Lord is never wasted. If we trust him with our time, we will accomplish everything that he needs us to accomplish. Anna spent 64 years with the Lord. Not a minute of that was wasted time. She was encouraged by the Lord. We read at the end of that couple of verses there that she told everybody she saw about Jesus Christ's coming. She was filled with that joy, right? She waited a very long time for Jesus. We have him already. He was already born when we were born. We don't have to wait that long. We will accomplish everything he needs to accomplish if we rely on his time. I was reminded this week in a message that I was listening to. The pastor said, Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry. To a lot of us, that would seem strange because, I don't know, maybe from the age of 20, I'm 20, to the age of 30, there could be a lot more done, right? But the Lord didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old. And he accomplished all that he had set out to do. 3 years. The Lord used his time exactly how he needed it used. So we don't have to worry if God's going to use our time when we give it to him. We'll accomplish as much as we need to accomplish, as much time as he gives us. And that's encouraging for me. Some benefits to giving God our time are immediate benefits. When we give him our time in the morning, we can use that time and he'll give us peace. We cannot have peace if we don't first give time. We have to take time and give that time to God so He can give us peace. I love how everything ties together. As I was preparing this message this morning, and I met with Pastor Tim, and we had a little bit different trains of thought. Right? He's talking about peace, I'm talking about time. But they fit together very nicely. And I think that's wonderful. Because our time allows us to seek peace, right? And we ask God for that. He's faithful to give us peace. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. We must take time to be still before the Lord so He can give us His peace. We can't find peace hurrying from one thing to the next. We get tired and stressed on our own strength. And I'm sure most of you have felt that. You know, you start losing that time in the morning with God and your devotions, and things start adding up in your mind and in your heart, and stresses get to you, and they affect you differently. And you find yourself not where you wanted to. Maybe that's anxiety, maybe that's stress. But that's not what the Lord intends for us. The Lord intends for His people to have peace. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. I'm going to reread the 38th verse. It says, "She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem." That's powerful. She had the joy of the Lord upon her, and she wanted to share that with people. Christmas is coming. It's a very busy season for lots of us. I encourage you, wherever you are, whether that's at a family gathering or at the mall, or with friends in the evening, at our jobs, is there somebody on your heart that you can tell about Jesus this Christmas? Maybe that's somebody who knows Jesus that needs to be refreshed. Maybe that's a family member at a gathering who, you know, hasn't been doing too well recently. Maybe that's somebody that you can reconnect with that you've lost touch with. But there are people who need to be told about Jesus. And our joy is contagious. You don't have to be completely put together and have a script written out to talk about Jesus. If you share with them your joy, they'll see that and they'll be intrigued. Take time this Christmas to be still with the Lord. He will honor the time you give Him. He is worthy of our time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You can't have peace if you don't give time. How's your peace level in your heart and life? How's the peace level? How do you feel? Peace in your life. How are you thinking about peace in our lives? And I encourage you to carve some time out every day for peace. Even just to take your phone and just set a 5-minute timer. It's amazing how even 5 minutes every day, or a couple of times a day, or even in the middle of the day when you're feeling that stress, just say, I'm going to take 5 minutes. Set the timer so you don't have to worry. And then you can do what I've often encouraged us to do. And we're going to do that this morning. It's called STAR. How to bring peace into our hearts. I did this at camp, and I've done that with us here a number of times. So as we conclude our time, and in a moment we'll have a closing song, right? Yep. So if you would just close your eyes, if you're comfortable with that. You can put your hands up in front of you a little bit. So STAR means stop. We're already stopped here this morning. And then we take a breath. So take a breath with me. Breathe in. And breathe out. Take another breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. You can drop your shoulders a little bit. We carry a lot of our stress on our shoulders. Drop your shoulders. Just take another breath.
Remember his words. Peace I give you, not as the world gives, but as I give. Peace be with you. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. What's on your mind and your heart that wants to take the peace away? Take that word, that feeling. Place it in your hand and say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I give you this word, I give you this stress, I give you this anxiousness, I give it to you, Jesus. Please take it as you say. You've overcome the world. And Holy Spirit, would you put into our hearts peace, your peace. We stop. We take a breath. We appreciate Jesus. Thank him for his peace. And we respond in peace. Lord Jesus, thank you. We worship you. We bless you. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name.